Two Sundays ago, we learned that we all want success in this world because we believe success will make us happy. The problem is that success in this world only produces a lot of pain, suffering, and hard work before success. And the so-called pleasure or fulfillment or happiness lasts only for an instant at the moment of success. And what follows, as I shared last time, that was experienced by many people who achieved the pinnacle of their success was emptiness. Emptiness will follow after you have achieved what you want to achieve in this world. So that's why last time I asked, is it really worth it that we pursue this kind of success that causes such pain, suffering, and hard work and only produces an instant of fulfillment and then leaving behind emptiness? I don't think we should pursue this kind of success. It doesn't really fulfill us, and the fulfillment does not even last. So God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 1 to 8 tells us a better success that produces lasting fulfillment. We learned two Sundays ago from verses 1 to verse 3. Let's go to the next slide. Verses 1 to verse 3 about a success that does not fulfill. This kind of success is focusing on gifts and performance without the love of God. And this is often the kind of success that the world tells us that we should pursue. We want to be outstanding, we want to have excellent performances, we want to have all kinds of gifts. But without love, in God's eyes, these gifts are nothing. Then we learn from verses 4, 6, and 7 about a success that truly fulfills, practicing what God's love is and what God's love does. Go to the next slide. Okay, we see that in verse 4 and verse 6, it tells us two qualities of what God's love is. Do you still remember, without looking at the slide, what God's love is? Two qualities. What is God's love? What is love? People say, I love you or not, in the United States. But do they really understand what they are saying? It is God's love that we should pursue. And God's love is patient and kind. And then this passage also tells us what God's love does. Not only the two qualities that love of God is, but five things that God's love does. The five things are, first, if you have God's love, you will rejoice with the truth. Second, you will always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. We already explained what these mean and how to apply that in our lives. I will not explain today again. And lastly, last time we also learned that the love of God not only, if you go to the next slide, okay, I'll go back. You understand what that means later. Not only does God's love truly fulfill us, but it will produce lasting fulfillment because God's love will last forever. As verse 8 says that love never fails. God's love never fails. It lasts forever. In heaven, there will still be God's love because God is love. But those gifts, including prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, they will pass away. In heaven, God will give us all the knowledge that we need, the understanding of His Word that we need, so we no longer need to rely on those gifts that we need now. So that's why this is the kind of success, to be able to practice the love of God here, now, and even to eternity. That is what we should pursue. Not the gift, not to have excellent performances, not to have perfect grades, but practice the love of God. And the reason why I share this message during my last two sermons is because I have found out that to be the most important message of all. And that is what is most important in God's eyes as well. Because it will go on to tell us that faith, hope, and love, these three things would remain even in heaven. But the greatest is love. As a student or a disciple of Jesus Christ, as I mentioned, we should major in love. That is our major, what we should focus on studying and practicing. Then we can minor in the gift, but if we do not have this major and we major in the gift, it will end up nothing like the zeros that you just saw on the slide. And today we will complete this most important message by learning the other side of God's love. God's love is not only what it is and what it does, but also we need to understand what God's love is not and what God's love does not do, and we should reject those. If we just focus on what God's love is and what God's love does without understanding what God's love is not and what God's love does not do, we might still not have gotten a complete understanding of that. So that's why I will go over today what God's love is not and what God's love does not do. And I will show you that they are related to what God's love is and what God's love does. It is just the flip side of what God's love is and what God's love does. First of all, we have learned that God's love is patient. The flip side is that God's love is not easily angered. If you have God's love, that is patient. Patience meaning that even when we are wronged, we will not seek revenge or retaliation, but we will not be easily angered. Love is not easily angered. Have you ever met an easily angered person in your life? Are you an easily angered person here? Anyone here? I have met such people. So Patrick also met someone who is easily angered, or are you sharing that you are someone who is easily angered? Huh?
Sometimes
you're easily angered, huh? Sometimes probably you met someone who is easily angered. What does an easily angered person do? He cannot control his emotions. He'll get angry easily. That's why it's called an easily angered person. And there is much power in anger. But this type of power, if it is not controlled, it can do much destruction, destroy relationships among people. It is a scary experience to be around people who are easily angered. It is like keeping a tiger not in a cage at large at your home, and this tiger can get angry easily and kill you. If you have an easily angered person in your life, you probably are in fear all the time when you are close to that person. If I put you in the cage or that nice it's almost like a condo that Tiger Mike is at, you probably will be really, really worried. And you will be afraid that Tiger Mike, if he is hungry, he might eat you. Nobody would dare to go in that room and stay with Tiger Mike. Similarly, when you have someone who is easily angered in your life, you can have similar type of fear. Or if you are an easily angered person, you can produce this type of fear to other people. And at the same time, if you have already exercise your anger easily and have already hurt someone. You are worried yourself. Especially if it is someone that you really know, but you cannot control your anger, you're afraid that you might hurt that person. So you are worried about your behavior all the time as well. So such a person is not a fulfilled person. This person is anxious all the time and produces anxiety in other people's lives. The opposite of an easily angered person is a patient person. This person, even when he is being wronged, being offended, will hold his anger and not retaliate, not revenge, and then being able to just calm down. And according to the Bible, this is a great strength. People who can have strength to control their anger have a strength that's stronger than a warrior's strength to conquer a city. And this is an important element of love, the love of God. And this is what we want to pursue in our life if you really want to experience true fulfillment in your life. Be patient, don't be easily angered. Second, we know that love is kind. What is the flip side of kindness, which is part of love? Look at the list. Tell me, which one is the flip side of kindness? By looking at the end of verse 4, the second half, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, and it does not deny it evil. Which one would be the opposite of kindness? The ones that were mentioned, not. Which one do you think is the opposite of kindness? Which one? Anyone? I want you to have some interaction so that you will be actively involved in studying God's Word instead of I just teaching you one way. Which quality is the opposite of rudeness, of kindness? Okay, rudeness, okay? Being rude. Someone who is rude is not kind, right? That's quite easy to understand. And also, keeping record of wrong. That means you always would write down people's offenses against you and then try to retaliate and try to turn that against someone later when you have the chance. Then you are not being kind. That's why, first, love is not rude. Have you ever been rude before? You're so honest, Patrick. I really appreciate that. I've been rude before. Who hasn't been rude before? That means you don't have any manners. Or at those moments, you don't show any manners. I have been rude before. Even to the people who love me most, like even to my mom and to my wife, sometimes I was really rude to them. But because of the Spirit of God in me, afterwards I apologize to them. Especially when my mom asked me to eat the food that he cooked, I was already full. I said, don't bother me, I'm really full. I mean, and he would just keep convincing me to eat more. So and then I would get really annoyed and I became rude. And there were also occasions I was rude to my wife, because I was so focused on doing work and other things, my mind was preoccupied with some other things. I was not paying attention to what she was telling me, and I got impatient and I got rude. I believe you all have similar experience of being rude in your life. If you have ever been in a relationship with anyone at all, with your parents, with your brothers, sisters, or people in the church, there must be times that you have been rude. And how would you act when you are rude? I see that when you are rude, you will act or you will speak inappropriate, improper, offensive, and insensitive ways. A rude person might speak profanity, communicate in a blunt way and maybe eating in a rude way in manners like that of starving animals which fight for the food. When you are at the table, you're so hungry, you don't care about anyone else and you just eat, and then eat everybody's food. When we should remain silent, if we are rude, we will speak. When someone else is speaking in a conversation, a rude person will speak at the same time, not willing to listen to other people speaking. That is rude. A rude person is not a fulfilled person. Why? Because he will not be able to get along with other people. A rude person cannot get along with other people. He will offend people all the time. Maybe he will appear to have some people around him. He might even call them friends. But maybe those people are just putting up with him, not really true friends to a rude person. But a person who is kind is the opposite. A kind person is willing to forgive even an enemy's offense and even help or love an enemy when the enemy is in need. That's why a kind person will be a fulfilled person, and a kind person will have a lot of true friends. Be kind. Don't be rude. Love also keeps no record of wrongs. Do you actually keep a record of people's offenses against you? Maybe in a notebook? My brother took my toy and they destroyed my toy, he offended me. Or maybe in your computer you have a document, type out all the offenses of people who offended you, and then you wait for the opportunity to revenge and get back to them. If you do that, maybe not on paper, not in your computer, but maybe in your mind, whenever you have some quiet time, you just rehearse people who the offenses people did against you, then you are keeping record of other people's wrongs or offenses. Don't do that, because you will be the most miserable and unfulfilled person in the whole world, because you will not have peace with God. You will not have peace with yourself, and you will not have peace with other people. So that's why it's so important that we do not keep records of other people's offenses and use them against our offenders when there's the opportunity. And you're putting yourself in a prison that way, torturing yourself for other people's mistakes. The opposite of a person who keeps record of wrongs is, again, a kind person who is able to forgive and even able to help an enemy. A kind person is a fulfilled person because of the freedom from hatred. A kind person is a free person in his mind. He is not a prisoner of hatred and bitterness, but he has peace with God. He has peace with himself, and he has peace with other people. Certainly, love rejoices with the truth. Then let me ask you, time to think, if you rejoice with the truth, what would you not do according to this list? Anybody? Rejoices with the truth, second half of verse 6. Then if you really rejoices with the truth, that means you take joy in God's word and obeying God's word. What is true, you will do it. What is not true, what is error, you will not do it. What is sin, you will not do it. If you deny, rejoices with the truth, what would you not do based on what you see in the passage? Anybody? No? If you rejoice with the truth, you will not envy, you will not boast, you will not be proud, And you will not delight in evil, because truth is the opposite of evil, and truth is the opposite of sin that includes envy, boast, and being proud. First, note it's not envy. What is envy? What is envy? Have you envied before? Envy is the desire of wanting very badly what somebody else has, but you do not have. I want it because I don't have. I want to have a Porsche. Bill Gates has probably more than one Porsche. I don't have any. I like that beautiful car. I want it so badly. And to a point that I might even not like people who are driving a Porsche. Have you ever wanted someone else's gift, a beautiful gift, but you did not receive it? Or someone has a very beautiful face? Or someone has a very beautiful body, a degree, a job, money, beautiful clothes, house, cars? When we see someone else having something that we don't have and we want it, we have shown envy. How would that make you feel when you're envious of someone because of something that person has you do not have? It is not a good feeling. It will torture you. You keep thinking about that thing that you don't have, and there will always be something that you don't have. So if you have a tendency to be envious, then you will always not have peace in your heart. But a person who rejoices with the truth is free from envy, because his joy is in God's truth and practicing God's truth, not the things that other people have. I take delight rejoicing owning what other people have. That is greed. That is not truth. That is one of the things, Ten Commandments is that we should not have greed that can be expressed in the form of envy. But if we rejoice with the truth, we would be free from envy, and we will be a fulfilled person, and we always have joy, and the source of joy is always there. It is in God's truth, and practicing God's truth, and having integrity. So that's why if you rejoice with the truth, you will not envy and be tortured by the feeling of envy in your heart. Second, love does not boast. What is boasting? What is boasting? I see that boasting is the other extreme of envy. When you envy, you don't have something and you want it really badly. But when you boast, you have something and you tell everybody about it. And then you tell people how good you are or what good things you have done so that people will praise you. You might believe that you are the best. But this might also show, if I boast, that I'm a pretty shallow and ignorant person. I don't really know what is the best, so that's why I already think that I am the best, because I'm ignorant. So it might also show, if I boast enough, I'm not a very secure person. People who boast enough, some people think that, oh, they're very good, but actually it might express a sense of insecurity in their heart. So they want to boast, to buff themselves up, so that by those things that they boast about, they think that they can disguise their inner fear that they are really nobody, and that he or she has no value in his own eyes or in other people's eyes. So that's why they want to buff themselves up. They want other people to praise them, to confirm their words. this person is not a fulfilled person. If you boast or not, you are not really a very fulfilled person because you lack security. You are building your security on what you are boasting about. But if you rejoice with the truth, again, your joy is in the truth, not in doing these things that is not true. Are you a boastful person? I think we all have the tendency to want to boast about what we have achieved because people might praise us and we will feel good. I think with the electronic means of communication like Facebook, we all have the tendency to want to update something that we have achieved and everybody will give us likes and they will feel pretty good about it and then we can boast about it. Well, I got 100 likes for this status update. So, yes, we all can fall into this type of trap to want to boast about ourselves. But love is not, does not boast. And love is not proud either. What is proud? A proud person, not only in mouth, boasts about it, but in his heart, attitude, he actually thinks that he is superior to everybody else. It is a hard attitude. And you, because of this attitude in your heart, you might look down upon other people when you are proud. And when you are really proud, since you think that you are the best, you want other people to serve you and to respect you. But when other people do not serve you, other people do not respect you, you get really upset. So a proud person can get upset very easily. Maybe proud of your beauty. We have heard of stories that there was a woman in that story who thought she was the most beautiful woman in the whole world, and then it was found out that it was Snow White was more beautiful than she was, and then she got really upset, and she talked to that magic mirror, who is the most beautiful woman in the whole world? And then the mirror said that Snow White, right? So that's why she got really upset. So when you are a proud person, you can get upset very easily. A proud person is not a fulfilled person. But a person who rejoices with the truth is free from pride and is a fulfilled person. Are you a proud person? To be honest, I confess that I had those moments that I felt I was pretty good or better than other people. For example, since I have been trained in a very strict traditional Korean Taekwondo school, and I train myself really hard, than most of my classmates in the Taekwondo school. So when I came to Baton Rouge, to another Taekwondo school, and I practiced Taekwondo there and I sparred with my sparring partners, I noticed that their skills were not as good as mine. And I felt, wow, I'm pretty good, I'm better than all of them, and sometimes even the instructors sparred with me, I could beat them very easily because not only did I receive good training, I practiced really hard. I even read books about martial art and I thought about how to be a better martial artist. So that's why sometimes when I go there, I feel like I'm not really learning anything. And sometimes I might even look down upon other people who are not as good as I am. See, in many ways, when we are good at something, we can very easily become proud when we see other people who are not as good as us. It might be with Taekwondo skills and other things that you have achieved. So I need to often remind myself that all the skills that I have, all the gifts that I have, the blessings that I have, they are all from God. So I need to keep reminding myself to give glory to God in what God has gifted me with. Or otherwise, I will become proud very easily and I will have sinned. I will not have loved if I am proud. My greatest enemy or opponent is myself. That is a common saying even in Chinese. And there's really no need for me to compare with other people because people have different gifts, different strengths. Maybe that person just does not have that strength, but in some other ways that person is much better than I am. So that's why we should not be proud. simply because we are good at something. And love also does not delight in evil. Because love rejoices with the truth, that's why love does not delight in evil. If you delight in evil, you are an evil person. You actually take joy doing evil or seeing evil happening in the world, and you clap your hands. Good, I'm glad that the two planes crashed into the World Trade Centers. Some people were happy when that happened. These are evil people. So many thousands of people's lives were not, and some people were happy about that. That is evil, rejoicing, delighting in evil. Such an evil person will not be a truly fulfilled person, because finally he will suffer from the evil, the consequences of his own evil. He will not have true peace with God, and God will judge such a person who will not have peace with himself and other people. The opposite of someone who denies in evil is someone who rejoices with the truth. This person, again, has peace with God, with himself, and other people. And this person makes the right decisions in life and will not suffer from the consequences of making an evil decision. Rejoice with the truth, and you will not deny in evil. And lastly, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always persevere. When you truly love the way God loved us, you will want to help someone, to protect someone for that person's good. You give that person the benefit of doubt, even that person made a mistake. You trust that person still, even that person offended you. You even have high hopes and expectations of that person who doesn't seem to be good at this point. But because of love from God, you will have high expectations of someone who doesn't seem to have hope at this point. And you will always persevere in your relationship with other people. The opposite of that is what? It's self-seeking. That's why love is not self-seeking, self-centered, selfish, only caring about myself. Self-seeking, and I don't care about anyone else. I do that when I'm always self-seeking. A self-seeking person is not a truly fulfilled person, because he won't have friends, true friends, and he will never experience the joy of helping others for other people's benefit. The Bible tells us that we are more blessed to be able to give than to receive. Those people who are able to help others, they actually experience more joy than just always wanting to receive, self-seeking. And this person, since he is self-seeking, always thinking about himself or herself, he or she is not willing to seek God's will and God's plan for him or her, because he or she is self-seeking, not God-seeking. And this person will miss another blessing from God, because he or she is not willing to seek God's will or God's kingdom and righteousness. Do you know how many blessings you will miss out when you are not willing to seek God's kingdom and righteousness? Are you a self-seeking person? I have had those self-seeking moments, but as I continue to trust God and spend time with God every day through His Word and prayers, God will often convict me about those moments. And I will shift my focus less on myself but more on God and God's people. To be honest, sometimes I do see God's kingdom and righteousness, but mixed with self-seeking motives. We often do that. Go to the next slide. I already showed you this night. Last time I said that we have a lot of impressive gifts, even wealth, and a lot of other possessions. But all these without love is zero. Last time we understood what love is and what love does. If you just understand what love is and what love Thus, without understanding what love is not and what love does not do, you have not thoroughly understood love yet. For example, you are still self-seeking. While you say that, oh, I try to help people. So you still get zero for your gift. The next night, that's the big zero, no matter how many gifts you have. Next one. But if you not only practice what love is and what love does, but also do not practice what love is not and what love does not do at the same time, then you have true love. And with each gift that God has given you, you add a one before that is 10. But if you are also willing to together exercise your gift with love in unity in the church through Jesus Christ, then add up together, we can create tremendous value for our gifts exercised with love and unity. Next. So that's another number. So let me read this to you. Someone said that intelligence without love makes you perverse. Fairness and justness without love makes you inflexible and stern. Diplomacy and tact without love makes you a hypocrite. Success without love turns you arrogant. Wealth without love makes you mean and tight-fisted. Poverty without love turns you into a radical. Next one. Beauty without love makes you capricious or unpredictable, unstable. Authority and power without love leads to tyranny or dictatorship. Neighbor without love turns you into a slave. Naivety without love deprives you of value. Prayer and worship here, even now, but if you do not have love for God and for people, that turns you into an egotist. You are just self-centered. You just want to be happy through your singing, but it is about the love of God and the love of people. Faith without love turns you into a fanatic. Bearing your cross in life, some people want to follow Christ, obey all the teachings in the Bible, but without love of God, for God and for people, you see that it's a terrible burden for you to live out all the teachings in the Bible by your own power, for your own good. If you have love for God and love for people, trust Christ, trust the Holy Spirit, you will see that this is not a burden. You produce another joy. So you see that life without love loses its meaning, or life without love is meaningless. So that's why love is so important, and that is something that I am starting to understand better. So that's why I'm no longer focused too much on the gifts. I try to still do a good job, I try my best for God, but I should not be focusing too much on those, because ultimately, God looks at whether I exercise those gifts with love, and whether I have grown much in my love for Him and for other people. That's what God would look at me at the judgment seat of Christ. Most of us will score pretty high in Bible knowledge. You have been going to children's Sunday school since you were really young. You have more Bible knowledge than some of the adults in the Chinese congregation, to be honest. They probably will not beat you in a Bible quiz. But let me ask you, how would you grade yourself in love, practicing God's love in your life? To be honest, if I give myself a grade, it's just 50%. Fail. There's still so much room for me to improve when it comes to practicing God's love in my life. And I'm working on it. I'm not giving up yet. I will continue to trust God to help me to grow in His love. How about you? What is the score you will give yourself? Anyone? Which area are you weakest? The wholeness of what love is, what love does, what love is not, and what love does not do. What is your weakest? Spend time to meditate on this passage. Come back to this passage frequently to evaluate your life, because this is how God will evaluate you in the end. And we think we should also evaluate our life by this standard. As a martial artist, I'm reminded recently that in Chinese, 念拳不念功，到老一场空。Some of you understand that. What it means is that memorizing just the outer forms of martial art without improving on the foundation, the strength, insight, and practical self-defense skills will only result in wasting a lifetime of practice, and you won't be able to even protect yourself when someone tries to hurt you in real life. Because all that you have is just useless outer forms. Similarly, as a Christian, just memorizing and even understanding a lot of Bible verses and even doing a lot of things on the outside, in the church maybe, even in the family and at work, but without love for God and without love for people, it will only result in wasting a lifetime of Bible study and service. So that's why I want to share this message to you, because that is the most important. But how can we practice God's love in our life? We know the importance of it. If you look at this passage, you will see that it's impossible for us to practice God's love all the time, consistently, by ourselves. Look at the list. Who can consistently do all those or not do some of those is not and love does not? We cannot do that by our own power. So that's why whenever we come to this passage, it will humble us. No matter how many gifts you have, if you have not loved the way God loves us, and that it's impossible by our own power, then we'll do nothing. So we'll be humbled, we'll come back to God to ask God through the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us power, because in our selves, we do not have this power to love the way God loves us, the way Jesus Christ showed God's love on the cross by dying for our sins while we were sinners, while we were hopeless, while we were enemies of God. God, He Himself from heaven came down to earth to die for us, His enemies. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. When we honestly read your word and meditate on your word and let the Holy Spirit speak to us through your word, we will see that your word will often convict us, show us who we really are. We really are nothing by ourselves. There's really nothing to boast about, to brag about. Without your power, without relying and trusting on the Holy Spirit and the resources God has given us through His Holy Word, we really cannot do what God wants us to do and what truly fulfills and what truly is valuable in God's eyes. The love for God and the love for people. God, would you forgive us if your word has spoken to each one of us personally, has convicted us? Would your Holy Spirit continue to do the work, not only to convict us, but to enable us to overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit our own weaknesses when it comes to love. And love is not just saying I love you or being kind, but it encompasses everything. When we major in love and minor in the gifts and other things, then our life would be valuable in God's eyes. I pray that each one of us would set our mind on pursuing, learning to love the way God loved us through Jesus Christ. Would you remove our pride, especially among Chinese people who work really hard, who have a lot of gifts and inheritances and blessings from the family. Let not these blessings become obstacles for us to receive a greater gift from God, that is love, and that can only be received and be practiced when we are humble, when we trust God, when we trust the Holy Spirit. Would you make all our lives valuable when we not only trust God individually, but we also are willing to trust God together, connected really like a body, that we will be able to be powerful witnesses for God. When we live out God's love in us, people see us, they will know that God is real, and they will want to know God. And let us not just stay in the church to practice and to show this love, but also get out of the church. In the family, at work, in school, wherever we go, we take God's love with us. So the people who are dying for love, God's love, they will live when they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit would enable them to also practice God's love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the time we can have for the past 3 years to learn God's word. May your word, through your power, grow in our heart. That is good soil, and that will produce fruit for a lifetime. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.